Hello and welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real, the only podcast made by Chicago real estate brokers for Chicago real estate brokers. My name is DJ Paris and I am your host. And welcome again. I think this is our 73rd episode. And if I've done the math right, our third episode in 3 days. So we're making up for being absent for about a week and a half and giving you guys three episodes in 3 days, which is the most I think we've ever done. And we have plenty more that are in the can, as the expression goes, which means ready to be produced. And we have a whole list of dozens of other people waiting to be interviewed in the future. So I just wanted to say, stay tuned. Thank us every so often for these long absences. It's only because we get busy. This isn't our day job. And I also wanted to remind everyone who's listening, whether you're new to the show or if you've been a listener for quite some time, that we have this huge library of interviews that you really should check out. And the advice given in them by these top 1% producers is really timeless. It's so rarely based on what's going on like currently in the market. It's typically about, you know, hey, here's how I started 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago in some cases, or I just started 2 years ago, right? And the stories are all very similar in the amount of work that's required to build that kind of business, but in the approach is often a bit different. So if it was me and I was out there producing, the reason we created this show was not just to create new episodes every week. Of course, we are doing that, and we're grateful for everyone who listens, but to remind everyone that we have 72 other episodes that you should go back and just scan the titles. And these are people that you might even know that you wouldn't maybe normally have access to hear their story, to hear what they're doing today, what they did at the beginning, mistakes they made, what advice they have for brokers who are looking to increase production. So don't forget that even though we're putting out new episodes pretty regularly, we have this amazing, awesome library. And I hope to get that library up to 500 interviews at some point, where we'll have to go beyond 1% and go to maybe even the top 2% of producers, which would be very cool. Anyway, all right, so I've said enough about that. But also remember to send us your questions. We have some great guests on the show regularly, like Carrie McCormick, Joel Schaub, Eric Workman, all sorts of great people who are coming on monthly to give their take in their specific niches. Or if you just have questions for top producers, you can send those to us at keepingitrealpod.com, which you can also find every single episode we've ever done, stream it live or stream it directly from that website, or of course iTunes, Google Play, anywhere else podcasts are served. You can also please follow us and find us on Facebook. So it's Keeping It Real Pod. Just search for that and you'll come across us. And we also post all of our episodes there and other things as well. So thank you so much for listening. I'm excited to have made it over a year. Wasn't sure anyone would even care to listen when we first started. And thankfully we now have thousands of listeners, which is still just kind of cool. And we're excited and we'll keep grinding these out if you keep listening. So thanks again. Share this with another broker in your office if you think it would be helpful. And keep those requests coming in too. We appreciate it. All right, on to our interview with Jonathan Darentine. Jonathan Darin is the founder of the Jonathan Darin Team with Coldwell Banker Real Estate Group. He's been in the real estate industry for 7 years and has been full-time in sales for 5 of those years. In 2014, he started the team with one other agent, and now it consists of 5 full-service agents. The team dynamic allows him and his team to serve a large geographical span, including Will, Cook, and DuPage counties. In 2017, Jonathan was honored with the Coldwell Banker 30 Under 30 Award, which recognizes young agents not only for their sales achievements, but their community involvement as well. Also in 2017, his team was named to Coldwell Banker's President's Circle, which is a very big deal. This is for teams with more than 4 members. In his free time, he enjoys spending time with his family, friends, traveling, and giving back to the community. And before I introduce him, I'd like everyone to check out his website. I was just telling him offline, this is one of the best real estate or realtor websites I've seen, which is homesbyjdt.com. So welcome, Jonathan Darin.
Hey, DJ. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. We're really excited to have you on the show. And you were always on our list to interview. And we now finally are getting to do that. So Thanks. So my first question, my standard question, and I think a really interesting one for you in particular, or at least our listeners to hear from you, is how you got into real estate. So tell us that story.
Yeah. So I'm actually a third generation realtor. My grandfather actually owns Coldwell Banker, the real estate group. My mom's in the industry as well. But I always said that I would never get into the family business, would never become a realtor, was never going to do it. Well, I went to Eastern Illinois University, studied business management, knew I wanted to be involved in business of some sort, but again, never was going to be in the family business, never going to be a realtor. So I did a little stint in retail for a little bit, like a management program, and that was not for me. So I ended up going.
Retail is hard.
The hours are not that good. Not saying that realtor hours are all that great.
No, either, that's true.
But when you're stuck in a retail store, it's, you know, that was not for me.
Sure.
So I ended up going to my grandfather and my uncle at the time, who was the president of our company, and said, you know, is there anything I could do? Just kind of hold me over. Again, I don't want to be in the family business. You know, is there anything I could do to help out until I can figure out what I truly want to do?
And, sure.
You know, they were like, you could do this, you could do that, you know, whatever. And we kind of sat down and took a little bit deeper dive into it. And at that time, they didn't really have anybody managing their internet leads department, which is what we developed. So they were getting all these internet leads back in like 2011, and they really weren't being serviced. You know, they would go to the agent and there was no follow-up, nothing like that, to see how it was really getting
sure.
done. So we decided to start an internet leads department. And from there, I'm now in the family business. And that was in 2011. I did that for about 2 years, and we started, made that department profitable for the company. But I kind of learned the business from the inside out. You know, I saw how important follow-up was. I saw how important it was to just kind of take that transaction from the start all the way to the finish. And I was like, man, I think the real money is actually in sales. So
sure.
Like I said, I never thought I was going to do it. But while I was doing that, they allowed me to help some friends, some close friends and family, because I was licensed at that time.
Sure.
And I fell in love with it, DJ. I mean, this I have like a passion for real estate. And I guess people always say, well, it must have been in your blood. You know, you
right.
said you weren't going to do it, and now you do it. So so you kind of fast forward that a little bit. And then in 2013 is kind of when I went full time. I trained somebody to take over that internet leads department, and I was full time sales, took the leap. And I really have never looked back from that point.
Well, let's talk about your team, because you have a pretty interesting team. It's not made up of random brokers who you've meshed with personality-wise. This is like a very specific and deliberate melding of people that have kind of a cool coincidental, you know, sort of story to you and your sister. So tell us about the team.
Yeah. So I started the team in 2014 with my team member, John Benesek. He actually was one of my first clients. I think he might have been like my second or third deal. And him and I met just playing, you know, Thursday night softball. kind of random, right? But he'd always talk to me about real estate. And then him and one of our other buddies were actually looking for a place together, kind of like an investment place. And we ended up selling him a house. So he came on the team. It was him and I for about 2 years together, before I brought on my team member, Patrick Mayer. And funny how that works is Patrick Mayer has been friends with my sister, Stephanie, since like first grade.
Wow.
So it's just weird how this all came together. So right after that is I brought on my sister then. To my team. So Stephanie Darren, not my wife, my sister. a lot of people think that, but yeah. Brought her on. She was going to be like my assistant and handle a lot of our paperwork and different things like that because she had another job at the time. Well, she started to kind of dabble in how I did and started helping friends and you know, some of her sphere, and it's taken off for her as well now. So she's a full service, you know, agent as well now, not just doing paperwork and things like that. So I have my sister's best friend from first grade. I have a guy I played softball with and was one of my first clients. And then our most recent team member is Matt Lind, and he is actually based out of Chicago. So he's going to do a good job covering that market for us. And he happens to be one of my best friend's brothers.
That's crazy.
It's kind of crazy and unique of how that all came together. And it's not that I wouldn't hire anybody I didn't know. It's just, you know, it's kind of worked out for us really, really well. There's a lot of trust in this, like the way that we built the team. So I like to say that I'm lucky when it comes to that, because I know a lot of people struggle to find good team members.
Yeah, I think for sure. And the fact that it's worked out so well and it's with people that you know and trust and like is before they even came on board is pretty unique and certainly very cool. And I like the company I work at, it's owned by one of my closest friends. And so it's pretty cool to be able to build something with friends. And so I'm sure you feel the same way. So
yeah, we all have like the same goal in mind too. You know, it's not just about, you know, because some teams are like, hey, it's all about like, you know, whoever's name's on it. And, you know, I've made it very clear to them that, you know, just because it's the Jonathan Darren team, it's, that's not everything. You know, it's, we're all gonna, you know, get our own in this. So sure. It's good.
Awesome. If we can we go back just briefly to Internet Leads? Because I think you're the first person I've talked to who has talked about experience with Internet Leads, obviously working with the Coldwell Banker Internet Leads sort of division, I'm sure gave you a lot of insight on how Internet Leads work. Can you tell us just a few best practices for anyone out there who may be purchasing leads through Zillow or Trulia or Realtor.com or, you know, or just generating their own internet leads? Any just quick advice, obviously, aside from, yeah, call them within 10 seconds. We know that one. Is there anything else that you found was really helpful?
I think the biggest thing is, so yeah, I mean, call them within the first 5 minutes, sure. Right? Or, you know, while they're still on their handheld device was right. Obviously a big one. I think the biggest thing, though, is still follow up, but it's not just about that call you make within 5 minutes, because I got to see this over a 2-year span.
Sure.
And you'd be surprised the number of people that came in right when I started that didn't close until I was almost handing it off to the person that took over the division.
Wow.
You know? So I think it's just, you have to be patient with it. You know, a lot of people are like, well, they weren't good because they don't want to buy right now. You got to remember that if you are paying for a Zillow or paying for leads somewhere, that those people aren't necessarily looking to go right now. Yes, there are a few that are, and you're going to want to continue to follow up with them too, but it's more that nurture process. You know, you need to put them into a CRM if you have a CRM. You know, you need to kind of continue to follow up with them, not be overwhelming. With the follow-up, but just kind of be in front of them still, just the same way you would do with hopefully your sphere.
Yeah, I have a culinary story that I used to work for an IT firm for many years that generated internet leads for people looking to buy health insurance, people that, you know, had to buy their own coverage. And okay. We were generating at the time, it was a pretty big company or growing company with 15,000 leads a day. And we were selling wow. to thousands of health insurance agents all over the country. And so we had all this data over many years of, and we were able to track some of the activity that the health insurance agents provided us about how often they called and, you know, and sort of how quickly these transactions happened. What we found, I mean, this is such a silly example, but it really points to what you mentioned, was that in the leads we generated, it took on average for somebody to buy a major medical health insurance plan, 11 days to make a decision. So if it was Blue Cross or Aetna, Humana or whatever, it took them about 11 days to go, okay, that's the plan. But we found that with the internet leads we were selling, that most of the health insurance agents, because some would call and say, oh, the leads don't work. And then others would call and say, these are the greatest things ever. So we knew that the leads worked because some people had a lot of success with them. What we found was, on average, that person didn't make that decision until day 11. But the vast majority of the people that bought the leads stopped calling after like day three or day right. four. They were like, okay, the person's not interested. And they didn't nurture the lead. And I mean, that's a much shorter sales cycle, of course, than purchasing or selling a home. But it's the same principle of, you know, you don't know when this person's going to make a decision. So, and it really doesn't just apply to internet leads. Of course, it applies to every one of your sphere of influence or people you meet. So today is, are you guys predominantly working through sphere of influence, or how do you generate clients? I obviously have a lot of referrals, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is our main bread and butter is I'm a big sphere guy.
Sure.
I'm a big, you know, taking care of your past clients. That is, I mean, we sit down every year at the end of the year and say, okay, where do we, you know, where are we getting the majority of our business? You know, where do we want to spend marketing dollars and things like that? And to be honest with you, it's, yeah, you know, you still have to spend marketing dollars. You could pay for leads here and there, but it's all based on taking care of your past clients and your sphere of influence for us. I mean, I know that not everybody can say that, but we happen to have a big sphere. We're all pretty locally based within a couple areas. You know, obviously that coverage goes way out, but at least, you know, kind of for that sphere, family, friends, past clients, it kind of stays pretty close. So that's our main business. I mean, to be honest with you,
sure.
we don't spend a ton of money on, you know, Zillow or those sites.
Sure.
We're focusing on, I'd rather spend money on, you know, client appreciation events and things like that.
Yes.
To where they're out in front of you and we can see them again. That goes a long ways, I feel.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, well, I know you're right, because of course it's working for you and everyone else I've ever talked to who has the same exact thought. What do you, so you mentioned client appreciation events. Are there other things you do, or even if it's only client appreciation events, which is an awesome thing, what are you doing after the sale, to stay in touch? Are there certain processes you guys employ to make sure that, you know, you stay in front of your clients, back of your clients' minds, maybe?
Yeah, I'll give you a little rundown of like our process of what we do. So we are going to have, they're instantly going to go into a CRM for us, and they're going to get a 30-day and a 90-day from us,
right.
Which we can put a personal touch on. We'll get an alert to send them, you know, just a check-in. Hey, 30 days after the sale,
awesome.
if they're a buyer, they're probably still trying to unpack,
right.
You know,
yes.
Depending on their situation. And then, you know, 90 days out, we're going to be, you know, hey, did you finally get settled in?
Right.
And some of them, no. Some of them, yeah, we've been settled in since, you know, the first day. We had the U-Haul with us at the closing. So we do that for sure. But we also take time to, you know, depending on the client, send a quick text message here or there, follow up with a phone call, follow up with an email. You know, we have a marketing program that we use that helps us stay in front. But if we continue to do our client events too, that's just another touch. You know, we invite all of our clients, you know, to our client appreciation events and things like that. We've done, you know, dog adoption events. We've done toy drives around Christmas time. We just did actually our first big kind of, you know, blowout client appreciation was all of our past clients. We did a White Sox game. We did a tailgate.
Wow.
And did like bleacher seats for everybody. So we took up like two full sections of the outfield. It was really cool to get everybody together, but it kind of felt like a wedding, to be honest with you, DJ. I had to go around to like everybody and I was like exhausted. I like couldn't enjoy the game, like barely had a hot dog.
Well, yeah, the host never eats. Even if it's, if you're hosting a party at your own house, you don't eat because you're
making sure. Exactly. But it was a blast.
Yes.
It was an absolute blast. And people are still talking about it. You know, and that was in, I believe it was, I can't remember the exact date. I think it was the end of July. So, I mean, that's pretty good. Now we're going to be rolling up on, you know, 5-6 months later and people talk about it, or clients that we had that maybe weren't closed with us yet are saying, hey, are you going to be doing that again next year?
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of those. I think brokers oftentimes forget how helpful those are in just keeping the relationship going strong. And also it's just a nice thing to do for people who have made you some money. So,
And it doesn't have to be as big as that either. Like we started small, you know, just doing small things. Don't be afraid that if there's only a few people, because hey, guess what? At least you had a few
sure.
people, you know? So We were lucky the White Sox thing turned out pretty good.
That's awesome. Let's talk about an award that you won that's, I think, a very, very big deal, considering Coldwell Banker is certainly one of the largest, if not, I don't know, maybe they're the largest in the United States, but certainly one of them. You won the 2017 30 Under 30. So to tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, my God. Amazing experience. Probably actually one of the top moments in my career, to be honest with you, DJ. You know, it's something that you have to apply for. You have to, and you can't just like write a couple sentences and say, hey, I qualify. Like it goes into like your numbers, your community involvement. You kind of have to give an outlook of, I actually submitted a video for mine of kind of like what we're doing, kind of hitting some of those main points of kind of the future, right? So, you know, under 30, you know, any realtors out there that are under the age of 30 are kind of the future of the brand. Of the realtor brand, just in general. So Coldwell Banker started this, this 30 under 30 award. It allowed us all to get together in, Vegas as well at the, national, Coldwell Banker convention that they do. It's called Gen Blue. So we were there, I got to meet 29 awesome, you know, other realtors throughout the world, actually. There was a few from Canada. There was one from Turkey. Wow. And then just all spread out throughout the United States. It was a really, really cool experience. And now I take away from that, you know, kind of friends for life when it came to that. I mean, we all won the award the same year. I have, you know, built in referral, I guess worldwide, I guess if anyone's moving to Turkey, you know, or Canada, you know, I have connections in those areas now as well, which is really cool. Really cool.
Yeah, no, it's a really big deal. And so with respect to your team, do you have a goal to continue to expand the team? Are you happy with the size of the number of, you know, you have five brokers now? Are you looking to grow beyond those five, or sort of what are your thoughts with the team?
That's a great question. So I think that's kind of ever changing, kind of depending on how we are doing. Right now I'm very comfortable with what we have. We just added Matt, like I said, to kind of cover a little bit of the city for us. So I'm really happy with that. And that actually kind of came out of left field, but it's going to be a perfect scenario for us. So it's more of like grow as needed basis rather than like, I have a goal to grow this to 20 agents by 2020. I mean, at that point, I might as well manage an office or something. but I think one thing that's really unique about us, DJ, is all of my agents are full service. So what I mean by that is everybody on my team, so all five of us are full service, meaning we can do any part of the transaction. Yeah. I don't just have just buyer's agents or showing agents or admin. When you join my team, you're full-fledged. You're going to do the whole process. You're going to learn from start to finish on a listing presentation, on listings. I just feel like that kind of cuts out all the gaps. You know, I know there, and other people will say they like doing teams the other way, but this is what works for us, is that there's no gaps in the transaction. So that Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, you know, when they go to list their house in a couple of years, the same team member can still do it, or vice versa.
Yeah, that's,
now if I'm just a list,
it's a very, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interject.
No, you're fine.
It's a very interesting thought, because there are teams I've interviewed who, like you said, would say, no, you really want a listing specialist, and then you want a negotiation person, and you want, and they carve out these unique roles, which in theory is kind of a cool idea, but you're right.
Yeah.
Because if someone's sphere, if your sister's sphere is maybe different from yours, let's say, and their best friend wants her to list the home, but she's really works with only buyers, then you're right. Like, then it could create some issues.
Exactly. Really smart. And I wanted to eliminate that aspect of it. Now we'll still go on listing appointments as teams, you know, the two of us, or, you know, some of us, some people, when they have us out, they're like, hey, like, I want your whole team to see the place. Hey, we can, I'm not sure we'll be able to get all five of us there, but can I get, you know, two or three of us there? And that's, you know, usually more than enough and fine. But, you know, it's just, it kind of, like you said, it cuts out that gap. Whereas if I was the only listing agent, well, what happens if they really, you know, have a connection with me and they want me to help them with the buy? Well, I can do that too. And same goes with any of the team members.
That's, yeah, I think that's really smart. And again, if you're working by sphere of influence, you know, it's not the easiest thing for one of your team members who maybe wouldn't be the listing broker to go, hey, my best friend wants to list, but I don't really do that for the team. Can you do that for me? You're right. It's good that you can just jump in and help out at any part of the transaction. Any member can if someone needs help, because everyone knows how to do everything. So I think that's really smart.
It works out perfect that way, because and we all have, you know, we keep notes and have, you know, iPads and stuff like that, where we're able to send notes to one another. So if it's like, oh my goodness, I'm double booked today, I need you to take out, you know, Susie Q, that team member can step right in. Everyone's aware of it. All of our clients are aware of it right away, that, hey, it may not be Jonathan Darren every time. You might get, you know, Patrick Mayer or John Benesek that meets you that day, but know that they're going to be up to date on the situation.
Awesome. Well, now I have some questions, since you've been in 7 years, but we'll still call you new-ish, even though you're not, or youngish for sure. But what advice do you have? We have a lot of brokers that listen who are, well, they're not necessarily new to the business, although we do have a lot of newer brokers, but people who are just looking to increase production. I always love to ask this question for, you know, brokers that are doing well, in particular brokers who are on the, you know, on the early stages of their career, like yourself. Advice would you give to brokers either brand new or just looking to do better?
That's a good question. I'm going to kind of hit on it. I'm a little bit old school when it comes to this. It's just, I really think you need to get a hold of and stay in contact with your past clients and your sphere. And I think nowadays it's so easy to be able to refer cross country with a lot of millennials and younger people in the business. That may have friends that are, hey, I'm going to Colorado, or I'm going to Texas, or I'm going there. It's so easy to refer nowadays that I think you need to hit that niche as well. You know, if you can get one or two, you know, referral checks a month, or even one or two a year, that can go a long way, and you can throw that towards marketing or giving back to, again, your sphere. I just have a hard time having newer agents going out and buying a bunch of leads when we talked about that might take 18 months to close.
And, you know, if that lead is shared with other brokers, if it's not only being sold just to that broker, which some lead services sell to, some of them are exclusive, some aren't, but like, you're going up against somebody who might have 20 years experience. That's not an easy thing to overcome if you're brand new to the business. It's tough.
Exactly. And people look at reviews and all that is very important nowadays. So, you know, if you're newer in the business and you only have a couple reviews to your name, and it's your mom and, you know, your aunt, you know, that's, you got to be able to get past that though, and improve yourself. And what better way to do it than help people that you know, or that people you know. So that's what we try to do, is we try to go. Here's another thing. I think this is just a tip for everybody out there, or something that we do and I kind of instill in my team, is we treat everybody as like they're our only client. We treat them like, I don't know, not royalty, but we treat them as like, hey, we want them to enjoy this so much that they can't stop talking about us to, you know, when somebody says, hey, I'm going to be looking to sell soon, or I'm going to be looking to buy. We want them to easily say, call the Jonathan Darren team. They were all over it. You know, they made it as stress-free as possible, which we know this is a very stressful time for people, but they made it as stress-free as possible. Like, that's what we want. We want that referral.
Yeah, that's makes a ton of sense. You know, it's interesting. Zillow just came out with their 2018, they call it the Consumer Housing Trends Report. And I think they do it every year. This is just a few weeks ago. So it's like their big, huge study. And this was an interesting number that shot out at me that speaks a lot to when you were talking a few moments ago about sphere of influence, how critical it is. 46%, this is nationwide, of course, not Chicago, but 46% of all home buyers are first timers. And so, which is probably no surprise to anyone, but it's a good reminder that like about half of everyone buying a house has never worked with a realtor before. The vast majority of those those consumers, unless they maybe move to a new area of the country where they don't know anybody, the vast majority are going to go, who do we know who's a realtor? And then, or they're going to ask their friends, who did you use? Did they do a good job? And I mean, that's literally almost one out of every two. So the sphere, staying in, obviously taking great care of your clients so that they refer you to other people is critical. But like, just remembering that the vast majority, and probably most of those people were renters before then. So that's another opportunity, working with renters in, you know, in the immediate term, and then conditioning them into maybe becoming a buyer down the road. Well, they're going to become a buyer likely anyway. They might as well use you.
Exactly. And I think too, it's big to take, and just a mental note here would be is like, we try to take the salesperson out of it.
Yes.
We're providing a service, like a full-fledged service, right? I'm not going to force anybody to buy a house because I need a paycheck. I'm not a salesperson. So they're going to pick the place that they want, but we're going to help them through that process and service them the best that we possibly can. And I think if you can, you know, service your sphere, they're going to help you.
Yeah, I mean, we all really dislike salespeople just in general, but we love service people. We love being serviced. We hate being sold. I think all of the, essentially everyone I've ever interviewed, who again, all people I interview are like yourself, are in the very top of production. They all see it that way. And it's not something they say, although, I mean, it's not something they just say, of course they do say it, but it's actually the exact way they project themselves. And it's like, well, of course they are, because that's why they're so successful. They're patient and all of the other things you need to be a successful real estate broker. But it's clear that you and your team are doing that. So congratulations. Now to wrap up, if there are buyers, sellers, renters anywhere in the Chicagoland area, they are not limited just to the suburbs, although they work there, they work the city, the Jonathan Air team works everywhere. What is the best way that a buyer, seller, renter, investor can get in touch with you guys?
The best way would be to probably visit our website, which I believe you gave out earlier. It's Homes By, and that's BYJDT, it's like Jonathan Darren Team, .com. Or you can call our team line. One of our team members will have that at all times. It's 708-308-1938.
And also, by the way, I mentioned this earlier, but if one, people who are listening, maybe who are also brokers, you should check out the Homes By JDT website simply to get an idea of what I think a really clean, effective real estate website looks like. Not all of them are built equally, and this one was built with us a lot of intention, and it's really clean and simple. It's really exactly what I like in a website, so it's very cool. And also, they should follow you on Facebook. So it's easy to find if you just go into Facebook and type in Jonathan Darren, it'll pop right up. Darren's D-A-R-I-N. Or you can just go directly by facebook.com/JDarrenTeam. And it'll pop you right there. And you have a lot of fans on Facebook. So congratulations on building a successful Facebook page as well. And you guys do videos and all sorts of cool things. Cool. Well, thank you, Jonathan, so much. I really appreciate how you and on behalf of your team coming onto the show and spending some time with us and giving back to the community. I know that's important to you. We really couldn't appreciate it more. So on behalf of the Jonathan Darren team and Jonathan Darren and myself, thanks for listening, and we will see you on the next episode. Thanks, Jonathan.